Canto 2, The Growth of the Flame. A land of mountains and wide sun-beat plains and giant rivers pacing to vast seas, a field of creation and spiritual hush, silence swallowing life's acts into the deeps of thought's transcendent climb and heavenward leap, a brooding world of reverie and trance, filled with the mightiest works of God and man, where nature seemed a dream of the divine, and beauty and grace and grandeur had their home, harbored the childhood of the incarnate flame. Over her watched millennial influences and the deep godheads of a grandiose past, looked on her and saw the future's godheads come, as if this magnet drew their powers unseen. Earth's brooding wisdom spoke to her still breast, mounting from mind's last peaks to mate with God's, making Earth's brilliant thoughts a springing board to dive into the cosmic vastnesses, the knowledge of the thinker and the seer, saw the unseen and thought the unthinkable, opened the enormous doors of the unknown, rent man's horizons into infinity. A shoreless sweep was lent to the mortal's acts, and art and beauty sprang from the human depths, nature and soul vied in nobility. Ethics the human keyed to imitate heaven. The harmony of a rich culture's tones refined the sense and magnified its reach to hear the unheard and glimpse the invisible, and taught the soul to soar beyond things known, inspiring life to greaten and break its bounds, aspiring to the immortal's unseen world. Leaving Earth's safety, daring wings of mind bore her above the trodden fields of thought, crossing the mystic seas of the beyond to live on eagle heights near to the sun. There wisdom sits on her eternal throne. All her life's turns led her to symbol doors, admitting to secret powers that were her kin. Adept of truth, initiate of bliss, a mystic acolyte trained in nature's school, aware of the marvel of created things, she laid the secrecies of her heart's deep muse upon the altar of the wonderful. Her hours were a ritual in a timeless fame. Her acts became gestures of sacrifice. Invested with the rhythm of higher spheres, the word was used as a hieratic means for the release of the imprisoned spirit into communion with its comrade gods. Or it helped to beat out new expressive forms of that which labors in the heart of life, some immemorial soul in men and things, seeker of the unknown and the unborn, carrying a light from the ineffable to rend the veil of the last mysteries. Intense philosophies pointed earth to heaven, or on foundations broad as cosmic space appraised the earth mind to superhuman heights. Overpassing lines that please the outward eyes but hide the sight of that which lives within, sculpture and painting, concentrated sense upon an inner vision's motionless verge, revealed a figure of the invisible, unveiled all nature's meaning in a form, or cut into a body, the divine. The architecture of the infinite discovered here its inward musing shapes, captured into wide breadths of soaring stone. Music brought down celestial yearnings, song held the merged heart absorbed in rapturous depths, linking the human with the cosmic cry. The world interpreting movements of the dance molded idea and mood to a rhythmic sway and posture, crafts minute in subtle lines eternized a swift moment's memory or showed in a carving sweep, a cup's design, the underlying patterns of the unseen. Poems in largeness cast like moving worlds and meters surging with the ocean's voice, translated by grandeurs locked in nature's heart, but thrown now into a crowded glory of speech, the beauty and sublimity of her forms, the passion of her moments and her moods, lifting the human word nearer to the gods. Man's eyes could look into the inner realms. His scrutiny discovered numbers law and organized the motions of the stars, mapped out the visible fashioning of the world, questioned the process of his thoughts, or made a theorized diagram of mind and life. These things she took in as her nature's food, but these alone could fill not her wide self. A human seeking, limited by its gains, to her they seemed the great and early steps, hazardous, of a young discovering spirit which saw not yet by its own native light. It tapped the universe with testing knocks, or stretched to find truth mind's divining rod. There was a growing out to numberless sides, but not the widest seeing of the soul, not yet the vast, direct, immediate touch, nor yet the art and wisdom of the gods. A boundless knowledge greater than man's thought, a happiness too high for heart and sense, locked in the world and yearning for release, she felt in her, waiting as yet for form, it asked for objects around which to grow and nature strong to bear without recoil the splendor of her native royalty, her greatness and her sweetness and her bliss, her might to possess and her vast power to love. Earth made a stepping stone to conquer heaven. The soul saw beyond heaven's limiting boundaries, met a great light from the unknowable, and dreamed of a transcendent action sphere. Aware of the universal self in all, she turned to living hearts and human forms, her soul's reflections, complements, counterparts, the close outlying portions of her being, divided from her by walls of body and mind, yet to her spirit bound by ties divine. overcoming invisible hedge and mask defense and the loneliness that separates soul from soul, she wished to make all one immense embrace that she might house in it all living things raised into a splendid point of seeing light, out of divisions, dense, inconscient cleft, and make them one with God and world and her. Only a few responded to her call. Still fewer felt the screen divinity and strove to mate its Godhead with their own. Approaching with some kinship to her heights, uplifted towards luminous secrecies, or conscious of some splendor hidden above, they leaped to find her in a moment's flash, glimpsing a light in a celestial vast, but could not keep the vision and the power, and fell back to life's dull, ordinary tone. A mind daring heavenly experiment, growing towards some largeness they felt near, testing the unknown's bound with eager touch, they still were prisoned by their human grain. They could not keep up with her tireless step, too small and eager for her large-paced will, too narrow to look with the unborn infinite's gaze, their nature weary grew of things too great. For even the close partners of her thoughts, who could have walked the nearest to her ray, worshipped the power and light they felt in her, but could not match the measure of her soul. A friend, and yet too great, holy to know, she walked in their front towards a greater light, their leader and queen over their hearts and souls, one close to their bosoms, yet divine and far. Admiring and amazed, they saw her stride attempting with a godlike rush and leap, heights for their human stature too remote, or with a slow, great, many-sided toil, pushing towards aims they hardly could conceive. Yet forced to be the satellites of her sun, they moved, unable to forego her light, desiring, they clutched at her with outstretched hands, or followed, stumbling in the paths she made, or longing with their self of life and flesh, they clung to her heart's nourishment and support. The rest they could not see in visible light. Vaguely they bore her inner mightiness, or bound by the senses and the longing heart, adoring with a turbid human love, they could not grasp the mighty spirit she was, or change by closeness to be even as she. Some felt her with their souls and thrilled with her, a greatness felt near yet beyond mind's grasp. To see her was a summons to adore. To be near her drew a high communion's force. So men worship a God too great to know, too high, too vast to wear a limiting shape. They feel a presence and obey a might, adore a love whose rapture invades their breasts, to a divine ardor quickening the heart beats, a law they follow, greatening heart and life. Open to the breath is a new diviner air. Open to man is a freer, happier world. He sees high steps climbing to self and light. Her divine parts, the soul's allegiance call. It saw, it felt, it knew the deity. Her will was puissant on their nature's acts. Her heart's inexhaustible sweetness lured their hearts. A being they loved, whose bounds exceeded theirs. Her measure they could not reach, but bore her touch, answering with the flower's answer to the sun. They gave themselves to her and asked no more. One greater than themselves, too wide for their ken, their minds could not understand nor wholly know, their lives replied to hers, moved at her words. They felt a Godhead and obeyed a call, answered to her lead and did her work in the world. Their lives, their natures moved, compelled by hers, as if the truth of their own larger selves put on an aspect of divinity to exalt them to a pitch beyond their earth. They felt a larger future meet their walk. She held their hands. She chose for them their paths. They were moved by her towards great unknown things. Fate drew them, and the joy to feel themselves hers. They lived in her. They saw the world with her eyes. Some turned to her against their nature's bent, divided between wonder and revolt, drawn by her charm and mastered by her will, possessed by her, her striving to possess, impatient subjects, their tied longing hearts, hugging the bonds close, of which they most complained, murmured at a yoke, they would have wept to lose the splendid yoke of her beauty and her love. Others pursued her with life's blind desires and claiming all of her as their lonely own, hastened to engross her sweetness meant for all. As earth claims light for its own lone separate need, demanding her for their soul jealous clasp, they asked from her movements bounded like their own, and to their smallness craved a like response. Oh, they repined that she surpassed their grip and hoped to bind her close with longing's cords. Or finding her touch desired too strong to bear, they blamed her for a tyranny they loved, shrank into themselves as from too bright a sun, yet hankered for the splendor they refused. Angrily enamored of her sweet, passionate ray, the weakness of their earth could hardly bear, they clonged but cried out at the touch desired, inapt to meet divinity so close, intolerant of a force they could not house. Some, drawn unwillingly by her divine sway, endured it like a sweet but alien spell. Unable to mount to levels too sublime, they yearned to draw her down to their own earth. Or forced to center round her their passionate lives, they hoped to bind to their hearts' human needs her glory and grace that had enslaved their souls. But mid this world, these hearts that answered her call, none could stand up her equal and her mate. In vain she stooped to equal them with her heights, too pure that air was for small souls to breathe. These comrade selves to raise to her own wide breaths her heart desired and fill with her own power. That a diviner force might enter life, a breath of Godhead, great in human time. Although she leaned down to their littleness, covering their lives with her strong, passionate hands, and knew by sympathy their needs and wants, and dived in the shallow wave depths of their lives, and met and shared their heart beats of grief and joy, and bent to heal their sorrow and their pride, lavishing the might that was hers on her lone peak, to lift to it their aspirations' cry. And though she drew their souls into her vast and surrounded with the silence of her deeps, and held as the great mother holds her own, only her earthly surface bore their charge and mixed its fire with their mortality. Her greater self lived soul, unclaimed within. Oftener in dumb nature's stir and peace, a nearness she could feel, serenely won. The force in her drew earth's subhuman bruise, and to her spirit's large and free delight, she joined the ardent-hued, magnificent lives of animal and bird and flower and tree. They answered to her with the simple heart. In man, a dim disturbing somewhat lives. It knows but turns away from divine light, preferring the dark ignorance of the fall. Among the many who came, drawn to her, nowhere she found her partner of high tasks, the comrade of her soul, her other self who was made with her, like God and nature one. Some near approached, were touched, caught fire, then failed. Too great was her demand, too pure her force. Thus lighting earth around her like a sun, yet in her inmost sky an orb aloof, a distance severed her from those most close. Puissant apart her soul as the gods live, as yet unlinked with the broad human scene, in a small circle of young, eager hearts, her being's early school and close domain, apprentice in the business of earth life, she schooled her heavenly strain to bear its touch, content in her little garden of the gods, as blooms a flower in an unvisited place. Earth nursed, unconscious still, the inhabiting flame. Yet something deeply stirred and dimly knew. There was a movement and a passionate call, a rainbow dream, a hope of golden change. Some secret wing of expectation beat, a growing sense of something new and rare and beautiful stole across the heart of time. Then a faint whisper of her touched the soil, breathed like a hidden need the soul divines. The eye of the great world discovered her, and wonder lifted up its bardic voice. A key to a light still kept in being's cave, the sun word of an ancient mystery sense, her name ran murmuring on the lips of men, exalted and sweet, like an inspired verse struck from the epic lyre of rumor's winds, or sung like a chanted thought by the poet Fame. But like a sacred symbol was that cult, admired, unsought, intangible to the grasp. Her beauty and flaming strength were seen afar, like lightning playing with the fallen day, a glory unapproachably divine. No equal heart came close to join her heart. No transient earthly love assailed her calm. No hero passion had the strength to seize. No eyes demanded her replying eyes. A power within her awed the imperfect flesh, the self-protecting genius in our clay, divined the goddess in the woman's shape, and drew back from a touch beyond its kind, the earth nature bound in sense life's narrow make. The hearts of men are amorous of clay kin, and bear not spirits lone and high who bring fire intimations from the deathless plains too vast for souls not born to mate with heaven. Whoever is too great must lonely live. Adored he walks in mighty solitude. Vain is his labor to create his kind. His only comrade is the strength within. Thus was it for a while with Savitri. All worshipped marvelingly, none dared to claim. Her mind sat high, pouring its golden beams. Her heart was a crowded temple of delight. A single lamp lit in perfection's house, a bright pure image in a priestless shrine, midst those encircling lives, her spirit dwelt apart in herself until her hour of fate. End of Canto 2.